Gobi Desert Tour. Million arranged for me to fly down and tour in the Gobi Desert. I was the sole member of the tour group, and the guide and I flew down to a large town where we met our driver. He was a retired officer in the Mongolian army who had purchased his jeep when the Russians departed and made a living driving visitors to various places of interest in the Gobi Desert. The driver loaded our luggage in the back of the jeep with the spare gas cans, and we got into the jeep and made our way out of the city. Soon, we were in the wide open space. This was a wild, exciting experience, with the three of us hurtling across great, flat, barren plains in a small Russian jeep. No mountains, no telephone poles, no cell phone towers, no trees. Nothing except wild deer, wild mares, and herds of camels taking up part of the landscape. There were no roads, and the driver did not have GPS. Finally, some low hills came into view. Then eventually, we arrived at the entrance to a national park, where we saw the ranger station with a national park ranger. The area was quite green and hilly, but had few trees. Nearby was a young man in full Mongolian dress, sitting astride a Mongolian mare. Mongolian horses, although small and wiry, are famous for their speed, agility, and resilience. They date back to the Genghis Khan era, when his army had thousands of soldiers astride these small horses. As we walked around, the driver leaned down and picked up a small plant that had long, slender leaves. It was a green onion. He told me nomadic families gathered these wild onions, drying them to use for seasoning in their simple diets during the cold winter months. Cheese from mare's milk was also a staple in their diet. While at the national park, we met a young Japanese tourist who was hitchhiking around the Gobi Desert. My guide and driver agreed that he could join us for the rest of the day and go to the tourist camp, where we would spend the night. He was a lively and interesting conversationalist, and it was fun to hear about his adventures. We crossed a path through a small mountain range and stopped to put a stone on a knee-high cairn, thereby leaving an offering to appease the gods who controlled that portion of the mountain. In the late afternoon, we arrived at a very large cluster of gurs, or yurts. The portable gur was the traditional dwelling for the nomadic Mongolians. This tourist camp included about a dozen gurs, with two permanent buildings, one with bathrooms and showers, and the second with a kitchen and dining room. The Mongolian staff, along with my guide and driver, plus a couple of other guides, added numbers to the few tourists present that evening. After a very simple dinner, I returned to my own private gur. I thought, what an exotic and unusual place to spend the night.